All I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to the Fuck Fentanyl Podcast. I'm Luis Romero, I am the Fuck Fentanyl guy. Today, I got Puck Fentanyl in the house.
Hi.
Hey, I got Heather.
Thank you for having me.
And I got Lexi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
All right, so let's see. I guess we could start it out with, I met Heather about a year ago. Heather had lost her son to a fentanyl overdose, fentanyl poisoning, mm-hmm. if you want to get more into it like that. You want to talk a little bit about what happened?
Sorry, I'm going to get emotional.
No, it's okay.
He took a Xanax, half a Xanax. It had fentanyl in it. He wasn't aware. And he became unresponsive. And the paramedics showed up, tried to resuscitate him, was able to get him breathing again. They took him to the hospital, and he was on life support for the next 24 hours. They let us know that he was brain dead, and pretty much we needed to say our goodbyes because he wouldn't breathe on his own. Oh, wow. Once they took him off the life support, we had just got back from Hawaii. I had just talked to him hours prior.
Yeah.
Our world was shook. Yeah. Unexpectedly. So, that's the gist of it.
Yeah. How old was he?
25. 25. Yeah. Jeez. So, he struggled. They struggled. Lexi went to high school with Spencer. So she's been in our life mm-hmm. for a very long time.
Oh, really? How long have you guys known each other?
Spencer and I have known each other since you guys moved from,
Chino Hills.
Yeah, so that was like our freshman year of high school, I think. So
mm-hmm. Okay.
I think 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah. Over 10 years.
And they've been through a lot together. Typical high school stuff. You experiment, you party. Yeah, right. It's just a different world, now.
Of course.
So they were able to do those things in high school. They suffered, which Lexi will touch on a little bit later, a lot of loss.
Yes.
And they tried to deal with it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, everybody grieves differently. So I think when you go through a loss, when you're that young too, you have no clue in what direction to go in. And all of those different stages of grief, you kind of get stuck in one of them. Yeah. So it's either going to be anger. It's going to be like denial. It's going to be one of those that you're going to be stuck in for quite a while before mm-hmm. you start to like actually progress. So that was something we all kind of got stuck in for a little while. And it was also something like, with Spencer and the rest of our group of friends, we all really bonded over. Like going through mutual experiences like that and a loss definitely brings you together more than anything.
Yeah.
So Spencer and I got closer than ever when all that went down. Mm-hmm. And then just the rest of our friend group, the ones that were left, we all got very, very close. So mm-hmm. when we lost Spencer of all somehow was like the strongest out of all of us. Like
he pretended, I don't know if he was trying to play that tough guy role,
maybe,
but he
young man.
Yeah. So that's kind of why I was taken back by it. But after my initial shock and grieving, it didn't surprise me because he was so strong all the time. It mm-hmm. was like, you can't have that many close friends. You can't lose that many close friends in that short amount of time
and not have it
and not deal with it
without
it coming out some other way. Mm-hmm. So it kind of all made sense that he took that Xanax.
We kind of all went down that path of like self-medicating and not even realizing that's what we were doing at the time until mm-hmm. As we got older, realizing that maybe that's not the right path to take.
Yeah.
But when you don't realize it's an addiction either.
Yeah.
And when you're taking things like that, especially benzos, you don't think it's that dangerous.
No, like, of course not.
Like Spencer, you take half a bar and you're fine. Like, yeah, you just go to sleep. And that night he chose the wrong one. He was in, unfortunately, it was the last night he ever did, so.
And unfortunately, it was a friend that, supposedly friend, that sold to him, which was even more devastating.
Knowing that that's what was happening.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I'm going to look out for you, buddy. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he was just trying to escape the pain and go to sleep that night, because we were supposed to meet in the desert and with his friends the next day. And we had plans.
That's how you know, too, that it wasn't like a... It wasn't a choice, because you have plans. You like, he was doing very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, he had goals.
He was doing really well.
It looked like it from what I was gathering.
I mean, he was an athlete. He played hockey.
Very talented.
Yeah. I mean,
he had a very promising future.
Yeah.
He was making music. Like, he was doing very well and had a lot of outlets too. So I think there was just one mistake. And
That's so sad.
It's so quick how it happens.
And we had the celebration. We had a hockey skate, and the turnout was huge.
Oh, it touched fentanyl.
It's actually before that. Before when he passed away, we had an actual celebration of life. But before that, on that day, we had a skate. His brother thought it would be cool because they both played hockey.
Yes.
A way to remember him in a positive way. And the turnout was huge. And I knew he was smiling because it's like what he loved to do. So the puck fentanyl came from that. It's like, I need to pick up on that energy more, and let's make it an annual thing and bring awareness through one of the things he loved to do.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And then that turnout was awesome. You were there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
And everyone's like, when's the next one?
I know.
We're excited, you know. Then it helped a new path, and we raised $5,000. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. I wasn't sure at first. The signups were kind of lagging, and I'm like, maybe this isn't going to work. But then
I know exactly how it feels like.
Yeah, I was getting nervous. I'm like, So
I totally get that.
But then last minute there were 17 teams, and we went all day.
So many volunteers.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. It was amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love it, man. And like the hockey community just.
And their family. I couldn't have gotten through the last year and a half without them. I mean, actually, we're blessed. Spencer had so many amazing friends, and I am really fortunate in an unfortunate situation.
And how did you meet up with Lisa?
Lisa, the boys went to school together, her boys and Lexi and Spencer. We didn't really connect until I lost Spencer and she reached out to me. And, you know, grieving moms, we just connected.
Yeah, of course.
Her sons were football players.
Twins.
I saw their photos.
Yeah. We have another mutual mom that she lost both of her boys to. So we kind of gravitated together, and she was amazing. She's like, yeah, let's do this. Her support and drive through loss as well.
And she had nothing to do with hockey.
Yeah, she had nothing to do. Her boys played football. She's amazing. She's truly an amazing soul and such a fighter. It's devastating, you know, just loss in general, but losing both your boys.
Yeah.
I just appreciate her so much.
And my last podcast episode, I actually had my friend Benji come on. He is the first guest I had on that, you know, had to bury his son, you know, because of fentanyl.
Okay.
And
it's just
so heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's the worst. Grief and loss is devastating, but losing your child, it's a daily struggle. Our lives are forever changed. The would've, could've, should've haunts me. You know, his brother just got married a couple weeks ago. He should have been his brother's best man. You know, it's everything that's positive going forward. there's always a spin on it. Like, Spencer should be here. He should be part of this, yeah. You know.
There's always going to be an empty seat.
It's always going to be an empty seat. Our hearts are, you know, forever broken. You know, my heart is forever broken. I'm just learning to navigate through that in a positive way that maybe can help someone that's struggling.
And I see that.
Yeah.
And I see that with Buck Fentanyl.
Yeah. It's hard, but so necessary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the story isn't going to be over. His story is going to continue on mm-hmm. through me and bringing awareness and
through
just
you and through
fighting. Yeah. Yeah. And absolutely. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, I was so happy to find you.
I was like, okay,
this is fucked up situation, but
so this crazy thing, like I was vending in a, oh God, it was an Ocean Beach at the holding company. And I had just like, we just were messaging each other. And then somebody like told me like, oh, I lost, my friend lost her son and she would love this. And I was like, oh, cool, cool. And then, you know, they went to the show and stuff like
that. Yeah.
And then they just come right, brought it back to me. Like, you know her. Yeah. You were messaging her.
My friend Kim, she sent me a picture and she's like, look. And she bought a shirt. And I was like, her and her husband eat on. Yeah. They're our my good friends. So.
It's just what a little God shot that was.
Yeah. And then also at the candlelight service, I was there with you. And then someone came up to me that used to skateboard with Spencer. And because I had that big poster of mm-hmm. Spencer that I had brought, and he wasn't aware that Spencer had passed, and that was emotional moment also. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy how things line up, and he told me a few stories about Spencer that were very touching, and I'm like, I'm here for a reason at this moment. I was there with Lisa too.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing all those stories help a lot too.
Yeah.
Like, everyone that knew Spencer has countless stories that will always make Heather laugh too.
Yeah.
Like, so many stories. Like, he was the funniest person I knew.
He was.
For sure.
Hilarious. And he would make the room laugh, and he definitely lit up the room. And we keep our circle close, and mm-hmm. we get together and share stories and just check on each other and embrace each other.
And that's one way for us to all feel like he's still there with us, especially to be as close as we are to Heather and their family,
mm-hmm.
like, and the rest of our friends that have passed too, and their families, like, it absolutely feels like they're still there with us as long as we keep that relationship with their families. And it helps so much.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We make a conscious decision to make time for each other in this busy world of ours. Yeah, but yeah,
absolutely.
It's so important.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. And you go out and do like a lot of, I've seen like a lot
of
fun stuff
in
the desert.
Yeah, we do a lot of desert stuff. We had Spencer's 1 year celebration in the desert. It's definitely, I try to stay busy and in a positive way.
Yeah.
And,
I see
you know,
that.
Yeah. Because it'd be easy to curl up on the couch and cry my days and nights away. But, you know, I know he wouldn't want that. He was always doing things. And so I just try to keep positive. I want, when we reunite, I want a lot of things to talk about with him and have him be like, Mom, I'm proud of you. Keep on pushing, Mom.
Yeah.
Like, you got this. So,
fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's
you're making a giant impact.
Thank you.
I really
after the Puck Fentanyl, the outreach that I got from people, I had no idea. I knew it was a good turnout and mm-hmm. I knew we did good things.
Yes.
But the stories of people that actually are in recovery
mm-hmm.
that were there, I had no idea. And then they reach out to me and they're like, keep on going, like, keep on doing it. You have no idea. This has given me drive even more. One of the teams was the stats, and then it had fentanyl statistics for their numbers on the back of their jersey.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, and he was a recovering addict, and he said this really hit home for me. They knocked it out of the park with their jerseys, definitely.
Yeah.
It was very touching. It was more touching for me. I got more out of it than I even anticipated.
Right.
So yeah. I am looking forward to this year's tournament.
Do you have an idea when you're going to be placed?
I think about the same time of year. That was like December.
December?
Yeah. Okay. Spencer passed away in November. I was trying to do it in November, but it was just too heavy to do it in the same month. Yeah. So it's hard around the holidays. It's
especially with the 1 year.
Yeah.
I actually think that it's a little bit smarter to do it before the holidays. Yeah. That's when people tend to feel lonely and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And we want to do like mental awareness and fentanyl this year, kind of.
And group them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're so connected,
Yeah.
So we're going to work on that and perfect everything a little bit more each year and try to, pick our charity this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
have you talked about a new path at all on your show?
I mentioned a new path because I actually know, my buddy's mom is I think the person that runs it.
Founder. Okay.
Yes. Aaron Burns. He's my buddy. His mom's Gretchen Burns.
Oh, very nice. She was awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went on the news together. And
oh, really?
Yeah. She was there. She came with her son. Was that who you're talking about?
I don't know if he was at that one because she has two sons.
She has two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So his brother was at the pub.
Okay. Yeah. He was passing out Narcan mm-hmm. at the table.
He was the one passing out Narcan. Yeah. And because my buddy had just gotten a kid. So okay. I think it's a little harder for him to go to all their events.
Definitely.
But he was at the overdose awareness.
Okay.
That they throw every, I feel terrible for not remembering the actual day, but it's in August.
Okay.
He was there.
Okay.
And that's how I found out.
Because
we known each other for years and we were both in recovery and stuff. And, he was kind of giving me the breakdown that they started a new path. Like in 2014, before the fentanyl epidemic, they were passing.
She was telling me the story. Yeah,
yeah, they were passing out Narcan. They were the first distributors of Narcan here in San Diego, and they're a nonprofit, and that, they're just kind of trying to lead the way for other mm-hmm. people to spread out Narcans and start coalitions.
Right. Yeah. It's a good organization.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, I love them. I definitely probably would probably want one of them. I get like so many guests and shit.
Right,
booking
I know,
is
yeah,
so
yeah.
crazy. But you know what I mean. I definitely appreciate the people that do that. Man, it's not easy. It's not easy getting your hands on that stuff. They charge like an arm and a leg, I guess, if you go to the pharmacy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's
Yeah.
And it's a necessity.
It is a necessity. Everybody should have it. They should be passing it out for free.
I know. And we try.
I know. I mean, you guys do. But I mean,
yeah. Everyone should know how to use it.
Yeah.
Everyone should always carry it. It's so important.
It's like literally like should be in every first aid kit.
It should.
Mm-hmm.
In every home. Yeah.
And it's wild to think that, but it's just it is what it is.
I know. And until you're actually affected by it or know somebody, I don't think you really understand the mm-hmm. impact
how
of
crucial it is.
How, I mean, I have it in my purse and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. I go back to thinking about like the night that Spencer passed to like how that could have changed so quickly if the people in the house at the time.
Because he was with his girlfriend. Yeah,
if the people in the house at the time had it on them and,
really?
And knew how to use it, it could be a very different outcome and he might still be here.
Yes.
If they actually knew how to use it, so.
But at the time, they just thought it was no big deal.
Well, until you're actually affected by it, I don't think you understand how important it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely true, and it's so sad that like it's just that's how the times are. The whole experimenting thing is gone.
Yeah,
the
are not free to experiment.
No, not at all.
I was a kid, I mean, I have to admit, I've like all young people, you experiment, I would have been gone. I mean, it's just you're not. And I tell all my friends with young kids, talk to your kids, get Narcan. Like,
mm-hmm.
kids will be kids.
Yeah.
You experiment. Absolutely. You get in groups. You go to a party. You do all the things.
Right.
It's just a different world.
This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living.
It's just truly a different world.
If we were doing all the, like, when Spencer and I were in high school, if we were doing all the shit now that we used to do in high school, just like careless fucking around, experimenting with everything, invincible, you know, like if we were doing that now,
none of them would have made it.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Would absolutely be horrible. So.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
It's definitely. Yeah, and then deaths. You see the deaths on Facebook. I follow a bunch of pages. They're getting younger and younger.
Oh, God.
Or kids, parents with kids, and they touch something and put it in their mouth, and the kids are passing away. I mean, I just saw like a 3-year-old. Mm. It's
my friend caught a CPS case because her child got exposed to her fentanyl. Because she was a fentanyl addict.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name drop her, but yeah, she shared about it one time. Like, and you know, the child almost died. It's super fucking dangerous.
It's so dangerous.
It's a heavy thing to talk about, too. So,
yeah.
I'm glad she was able to open up about it.
She opened up about it. Yeah. She's doing much better now. But, you know, it was definitely something that was, you know, eating her up, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely glad her kid's okay, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I have respect for people that are so able to be so vulnerable just to try to make a difference and talk about it and share the story so that it doesn't happen to somebody else. You never know who your story is going to touch and change the outcome of, you know, a situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, and that's why I'm really grateful for what you do. Really grateful, you know, something like Puck Fentanyl's around, you know, because it's just like, you know, I grew up with the start of the opiate addiction epidemic, you know, I didn't do the pills. I didn't do that, but I got deep into the heroin, and then, you know, I seen people's lives change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know people died. A lot of my friends using died. And then I saw the fentanyl just kind of take over. But knowing that it's not even just like people like that choose to.
It's all walks of life.
It's all walks of life. Just knowing that it's just fucking.
And that's what the hockey tournament, it's, you know, I wanted to reach his peers that are hockey players. You know, you think your kid and the parents, you think your kid's an athlete and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's safe.
Yeah. No, all walks of life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
it's so.
And Spencer played lacrosse too. And even like at the hockey tournament, like his lacrosse teammates were there just supporting. They don't fucking play hockey, but they were like, we're just going to be here. It's like support. They're like, I don't know shit about hockey, but like, I'm going to be here anyway. Yeah. And that's really nice. Like she was saying, all walks of life will come together for something like that.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, Puck Fentanyl is a success. Cause you know, a lot of people, that subject touches home.
Yeah. I had someone from Canada actually reach out to me.
Oh, fuck yes.
And she lost her brother, same situation, and he played semi-pro ice hockey, she wants to come out this year. And
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so that's
badass.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She has an organization called Purple Stick.
Oh, Purple Stick.
Yeah, so it's trying to reach out to younger kids through hockey.
Oh, okay.
So it's a purple hockey stick. It's her logo. And
oh, I was like, wow. That's really rad. Yeah, I absolutely love that.
So we're reaching people.
Oh, no, yeah. I was thinking it was because I had somebody from Canada reach out to me as well. But it was, I think, the Purple Hummingbirds.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
It was really cool, though. They just were like, can you send me your address? I'll send you this. I'm like, cool. Yeah.
I'm reaching people San Diego.
Yeah. Because I've never lived outside of San Diego. I don't go vacations or anything. This is my little bubble right here. And seeing like how many people, you know, get my merchandise and how all these people were affected and all these people messaging me, you know.
You're doing big things.
Yeah. And
congratulations on your sobriety. Big milestone.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yes. I just met up with my sponsor today and I finished my 12 steps again. And I had to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm that type of person. I have very severe problems and I need to work on myself and constantly every day.
That's the thing with sobriety. I think it's a constant.
It's a work in progress.
Work in progress.
Every day.
Yeah.
One foot in front of the other.
One day at a time. Yeah. We say.
You got this.
And you yourself, you're pretty much my first normie, Heather.
Okay.
You
know, well, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, no, but I'm so fucking glad though that you've reached out to me a year ago, and
me too,
and that you know what I mean, that we can, you know, work on awareness together. It's just fucking, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We're on opposite sides of the spectrum, but the passion and the message is there.
Yes.
And, you know, we all have to try our best. And I think it's cool having different stories too, because maybe different people can relate.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
And even, you know, Lexi here, it's... helped her too, you know,
a lot. Yeah, definitely. And even like Louis said, like, if I wouldn't say normie either, like, you have definitely shared this experience that we've all had too, so you've had to experience it in a much different way.
Yeah,
but it has directly impacted you just as heavily as like,
yes,
any one of us
too. Absolutely.
So. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I am doing a 75 hard challenge where I'm cutting out alcohol and trying to journal and read and stuff. Because it's not that I was an alcoholic, but once I did start to drink in a social setting, I was getting drunk. And it was a way to escape, and I didn't realize it. And, you know, that's... I definitely don't want to go down that path. It's, you know,
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And you've watched it happen to a lot of people.
And I have watched it happen to a lot of people in my life. So I had to be self-aware and,
That's awesome.
I have to learn how to cope and not try to self-medicate even though I wasn't drinking during the week or anything like that. But when I drank, I would get emotional and then I would get drunk, and next day I'd wake up and be a hot mess. So,
you know, we always say it's not really like the substance. It's the feelings that are inside us.
Yeah.
That's what makes us go off the edge.
Yeah.
And everyone's different when it comes to how far.
Yeah,
it goes,
exactly.
Know? Yeah. But I'm so glad that you're living this healthy lifestyle.
Thank you. Yeah. Trying to journal and work through my emotions, and it's not easy,
but it works.
It works. Yeah. So
fuck yeah.
We'll see how this all pans out, but one day at a time, like we were saying.
Fuck yeah. So, next PEC Fentanyl event will be, in December, 2024.
Yeah.
So awesome.
You'll be there?
I'll be there. Okay. You already
fuck
know.
Yeah.
And we'll promote that everywhere.
I'll promote it everywhere. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
And, same.
Definitely want to get you and Lisa on.
Yeah.
Right before it.
Lisa was bummed. Not feeling good today, but we'll come on and share our story again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe, supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-334-9869. That's 619-334-9869. Come get some fuck fentanyl and some San Diego recovery at SD Sober Living.